Sir, you can all relax because I'm a teacher. Isn't that good news? I can only tell stories. Okay. Can we have the first slide? The reason why I'm standing here this morning, as you've just heard, is that our pastor is in Thailand. And he's on a mission trip. Our church is very much into missions. They have a mission outreach every year. You must please tell me, is this too loud? Can you hear me? Is it right? And, Rihanna and myself had the opportunity, we just returned from an overseas trip of 3 weeks, and during that trip, we visited the missionaries in Thailand with TNCs today. So we were in this very same church about three weeks ago on a Sunday, where TNC is preaching this morning. And because he's preaching there, he can't be two places at the same time. That's why I'm here today. But, you know, when TNC, he prepared me for this quite a while ago, and he said he would like me to talk to you about, bring a message today. During the holiday, I just relaxed. I thought, this is too much for me. I can't have holiday and also prepare a sermon. You know, that's too much. So I put it behind me. And when I got back and the time was running out, I realized it's now time to start thinking of something to say. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is so faithful that the Lord gave me something. And then on two occasions during our prayer meeting the last 2 weeks, that same scripture that I'm going to share with you today was actually brought up by Charlene on both occasions. Here, Charlene. And, you know, and for me it was such confirmation, you know, that is what I must share with you today. And I also got this inkling to share with you about this because when we were with Dani and Marina in Thailand, I just realized how true the Word of God is and how true the Scripture is. And I'll tell you in a moment why I say that. So let's have the Scripture. Yeah, my title is God Has Started It and God Will Complete It. And this comes from a very well-known Scripture. It says in Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sorry for all the lines and the red, but that's for me, that's not in the Bible. But I want to emphasize a few things there. Confidence. Each one of us sitting here this morning can be confident. The second thing is that God started the good work in us. And the third thing is God will complete it. We're not going to complete it. He's going to complete it. And what he's going to complete is going to be good. Well, that's the message. And I'll try to expand on some of that. There's no way that I can, what I wanted to say this morning. So if that may just interest some of you to come again tonight, I just suddenly realized there's no way that what I wanted to say I can really say in the next few minutes. Okay. So next slide, please. You know, many years ago, to be exact, 22 years ago, we were in another church here in Bloemfontein. I was a deacon and then later an elder. And as part of our job, we had to visit the people in our little, also the kingdom of Vake, you know, in your area. And I had this one house which I had to visit. It consisted of the mayor of Mongatown, him and his wife. They were quite smart people, grand people. And but that was also the time when the Lord touched my heart and I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and the Lord really changed me. So I had lots of confidence which I didn't have before. It was so bad that one evening the one lady said, "But jy praat nie so apostolie." You know, when that happened, I really realized that something has changed inside of me because I was not your average, you know, deacon who just came to collect money. I spoke to them about the Lord. But this couple didn't really tell me about their problems or their son. They were smart people. But I knew they had a son who had big problems. I knew because everybody knew it. He's the mayor. They only had one son. The son really had big problems. I can tell you, he rolled the car twice between Tableview and Cape Town. He was, at that age of 24, he's been in and out rehabilitation centers for addictions of all kinds. He was on all sort of tablets to keep awake and to sleep and for depression. He was really in a bad way. And one night when I came there, they said, whether I would pray for this child of theirs because he's decided to go to London now with friends. And I thought that is really bad news. But anyway, he went. And then I didn't hear anything. And one Monday evening, I'll never forget that, it was 7 o'clock. our phone rang, and it was the father, the mayor. And he said, he said, can you please come over immediately? And I knew. And you know, I got there, and he took me to a room, and there the son of his was sitting on a bed. And he was in a terrible state. You know, he was really, he told me, he didn't really make lots of eye contact. He just said, I want to end it all. I've had enough. But I am afraid to die. He said, I know enough that if I end my life tonight, where I'm going. So I don't want to live and I don't want to die. And you know, I just took his hand and I can't remember what I prayed, but I prayed a very, very short prayer. And just told him about Jesus and that Jesus can deliver him and save him and left. The next day, the father phoned me and said whether I would mind to come and collect all his tablets. And Rana says I've got a big way of exaggerating, you know, about the size of fishes I catch. But I'm not exaggerating. The bag of tablets were that big. It was so big I could put it over my shoulder. And he just said, please take it. I don't want anything to do with that. And next slide, please. And this is him. 22 years later, that's Dani and Marina. And yes, you know, he's so near to me. He's really like a son to me. And next slide. And when we were there, they've been there for, in Pattaya, they've been for 16 years now. And Pattaya is really, really a bad place. You know, it must be one. I know I've heard a pastor who once said this is the one place in the world where the devil dances in broad daylight in the streets. It's really, really bad. But that is where the Lord took them. So shortly after his conversion, the Lord called him. It's a long story. I can't go into all of that. But that is where they ended. And so this was our second visit to them, to Dani and Marina. And yeah, I'll just show you a few slides. Just the previous slide, it just shows you how that's a Buddha. They blew away half of a mountain, you know, just to be able to put this image of Buddha in pure gold on this mountain. I just thought, I wondered how long that would last in South Africa, you know. But that's not South Africa. That's a Buddhist country, not a Christian country. It's a Buddhist country. Next. And just these temples all in your face all the time. Next. Yeah, and then we went out to the island, which where they've started a church now, a satellite church on this island. And this is the only Christian church on the island, and it's mainly a Buddhist community. And suddenly, after 15 years, you just see how people are coming to the Lord and people being baptized. And nothing happened for about 15 years, you know. They had the international church in Pattaya when very little happened. I mean, it was mainly Americans that attended it. And now suddenly the Lord things are starting to change in this island ministry. Next. And there he's ministering to a number of Buddhist children on the floor. Next. Again, next. And you know, he took us down to the beach to show us where they baptize. And suddenly this lady greeted him in Thai. He speaks Thai fluently. And she said, you know, I couldn't make out what they were saying because we were talking in Thai. And then he told me she's one of the new converts. She came to the Lord a few months ago. But she's a professional masseuse, you know. She massages people. And there she's sitting on the beach massaging this guy's hands. He's paying her to do that. And you know what's lying there open? A Bible. Whilst she's massaging his hands and his feet, she's telling him about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? She's only been a Christian for a few months. Next slide. And that is where they baptize. I don't think it's prettier than our baptism spot. You think it's prettier? I don't think it's prettier. For those who don't know, we baptize in Small Bay. But I tell you, the water is warmer. I would rather be baptized there than here. Okay. So why am I telling you this? Why do I tell you all of this? I tell you that God, each one of us sitting here this morning, who have accepted Jesus as Savior, we're all handpicked. We're chosen. Before the foundation of the world, God had decided that each of us would become his followers. Why? Because he had a he has a plan and a purpose with our lives, each of our lives, a good plan. And the amazing thing is, he is going to complete that plan, not we. So how he's going to do it, I'll only be able to address tonight. I don't think the time is enough, but I just want to show you some other scriptures. You know, this for me is such an amazing scripture because we all know we were spiritually far away from God when we accepted Jesus. But what we don't often accept is that there was nothing good in us when he chose us. Let's just read this scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 1:26. Remember what you were, my friends, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. Have you noticed that? You know, where I work, I really work with clever people, really bright people. And we know quite a few people who've got quite a lot of money. And you know, many of them are not Christians. Many of them are not Christians. So God somehow decides to choose the weak and the not so clever and not so beautiful and not so rich for his kingdom. And I think the reason why he does that is it says it clearly in verse 28 and 29. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing. Why? So that he can destroy what the world thinks is important and that no one can boast in his presence. So I think sometimes also if you look at God, at Jesus' disciples, you know, they were not the Pharisees or the famous or the rich of that time. They were very, very simple people. And somehow I think that God chooses like that because he knows that this is a material he can do something with. These are people whose hearts he can use, who will listen to him and will do what he says. That's all the only way that I can explain. Because if you're very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, you know, you somehow may not be so open for what God wants to do. Next one. And yes, so this is the second point, you know, which I said at the beginning, and that is that God chooses us to do a good work. And I love this verse. I actually, very honest with you today, I mentioned this to one of our previous pastors many years ago, and he said, does that actually stand in the Bible? So he's never heard of this verse. So I said, yes, and he actually made a sermon on this. He was so impressed with this verse. But the verse says, I alone, that's God speaking, know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Isn't that beautiful? We have all things that we hope for. But God says, Jesus says, I'm going to do it. Just allow me. I'm going to do it because my plans for you are good plans. And I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. This is the word of God. Saying all of this, I don't say we won't have problems. We won't have trials. We won't go through the furnace. We won't go through the lion's den. All these things is part of it. But the end of it, God says, will be success. Next. And this is so amazing, you know, this is the Lord speaking to Peter. Peter has just been, is his brother, brought him to Jesus. And he says, this, he came to hear Jesus, he's standing, and he says, this is my brother Peter. And Jesus looks at him, and you know what? He immediately sees the end. He says, he looks at Peter, and he says, you are Simon. Of course, he knows who he is. He knows who all of us are. And he says, but you shall be called Cephas. The stone, the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And when Jesus said that, he already knew that all the wrong things that Peter had done in the past. He also knew that what Peter would do at the time of his crucifixion. He knew everything, but still, he saw the end. And the end is a rock, something very strong and very powerful. So that is the way God sees us. He doesn't see us as we are. He sees us in the future. And he sees what he's planning for each of us. And next, in this week I was reading my quiet time reading the Bible, and I came to the story of Gideon. And I think you all know about Gideon. You know, this was a time when Israel was very, very much oppressed by the Midianites. They were really, he was so afraid, this guy. If you read there, it says that he was actually threshing out wheat in the winepress. Why would you thresh out wheat in a winepress? Because you're afraid. Nobody would expect you there. This poor guy was afraid. And an angel of Jehovah appeared to him and said, Listen to these words, just the same words that Jesus gave to Peter. Jehovah is with you, mighty warrior. He didn't feel like a mighty warrior, I promise you. And sometimes in church, in ministry, and when things don't work out the way we are, you know, we also feel a bit like that. We know there's wonderful words said over our lives, over our ministry, over our church, but we don't see it in the natural happening, and then we say, but God has spoken. And Jehovah looked upon him and said, go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You are going to save this nation. And you know, then he said, but often that we would say as well, and he said, oh my Lord, with what shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. What was he looking at? He was looking in the natural. He was looking in the natural of what he was in the natural. You know, I don't want to talk too much about myself, but in a way, if I talk about myself, you can know it's the truth. I didn't come from a house where a very academic house. We were not many people in our family have been to university. There was no doctor in our family. When I came to Standard 6, I had this inkling in my heart that I want to become a doctor. And I didn't get support from my family or my parents. They actually thought I was talking, you know, but there. And what I'm telling you is when God has a plan for your life, you know, you can't look at your family. You can't look at your weakness. You can't look where you are. You must hear from God, and you must decide you can allow him to do what he wants in your life. And, yeah, so that's just my thing. So, in a way, I was actually felt a bit like Gideon when I was a young boy. I also had asthma, very, very bad asthma. And everybody said, how can you treat other people if you treat yourself? You know, that type of thing. But anyway, just listen to what happened here, verse 34. But the Spirit of Jehovah came to Gideon, and he blew a ram's horn, and he called the Abizrites after him. And you all know the story. Now, thousands of people wanted to come with him. In the end, the Lord wanted to get the glory, not Gideon or people, and he only allowed 300 to go with Gideon. But the Lord gave him the victory, and it was through his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And again, why? So that Gideon wouldn't get the glory, so God would get the glory. And what I wanted to speak later tonight on is, I wanted to speak just about this, that we really need to allow the Holy Spirit to empower our weak bodies, our weak minds, all the things in us that we think are weak, to allow God to accomplish in us what he has planned in eternity. Because God has a mighty plan for us. Next verse. There's one of my children here this morning, my daughter and her husband, and she will know what I'm talking about. You know, when they were small, we had high school things. We had gathered around the table each day after dinner, and then I would talk to them, and Rihanna, and we would talk to them and pray with them. Now, sometimes when they were small, they were very obedient, listened very carefully. And then they got older and they became teenagers and rebellious a bit. And sometimes this time of sharing the word was actually at the time when they wanted to watch, what's I forgot? Knight Rider. And, you know, and I was insensitive. I didn't realize, you know, this is Knight Rider. And they were just, the whole body language just spoke of, you know, please just get this over, you know, we can just go. But you know what I told them? I said, God's got an A plan for your life. And it was so amazing. My eldest son, who's not here today, at this wedding, he actually told us. And he said that I said, God said, there's an A plan for your life. And that's why it is so wonderful to get to know the Lord when you're young. Because, you know, I believe God's perfect plan is that you should know the Lord from a very young age. It doesn't happen in all lives, but so that he can accomplish it. But I can't tell what God, but I'll tell you in a moment another example. God can call you any age, but it's wonderful to when you get to know the Lord from a very young age. And therefore, youth ministry is so important. The people, Niku and Simone, working with the youth and others. And also, so important us as parents that we just tell our children from a very young age, you know, that God has got a perfect plan, a plan for their lives. But, you know, I just wanted to say that being not in the ministry myself, but being in the world, in the marketplace, I want to share this just as this one thought with you, and that is, you know, we must not consider ourselves inferior because we are not full-time ministers or full-time ministry. God definitely called us. If he wanted you in the ministry full-time, he would have told us because we hear his voice. And if you're not there, you know, you're not inferior because God uses us. And I'm just thinking of Daniel and also Joseph, these major, major giants of the Old Testament. They were not in the ministry, you know. One was a king or a prime minister, and the other one ended up as a very good administrator. But they were powerful and in the spirit. And the earthly kings, Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings, Pharaoh, noticed the spirit of God in them. Actually saying in both these books, there's a man who has the spirit of God in him. So what I'm telling you is God has this perfect plan for us, whether you are in full-time ministry, whether you are in the marketplace. But wherever you move, wherever you are, people must see that you're different because we have the Spirit of Almighty in us. Next slide. Now, this is for me, and now I'm going to preach to myself. Okay, this is not for you. You're all too young. There's only Barry's here who is about nearly as old as I. I am due to retire soon, for those of you who don't know. Well, I don't believe in that term. I don't think it's anything like that. And then you think, well, is this now the end of it? You know, I've done this job for 40 years. What has God in store for me? I just want to share this wonderful. Caleb, by the way, is one of my heroes from the Old Testament. This guy was one of the 12 spies who was sent into the Promised Land to go and spy. Who was the other? I don't know the names of all the others, but the only other one who came back with a positive report was Joshua. So very good names for boys, if you don't have names for your future sons yet. Joshua, beautiful. Caleb, just as beautiful. And Caleb says in Joshua 14:7, he says, I was 40 years old when the Lord's servant Moses sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought an honest report back to him. Not only honest, he brought a positive report back. You know what was the result of that? He says, Joshua 14:11, the one I made in bold. This is now, oh no, sorry, the previous verse. But look, it has been 45 years since the Lord said that to Moses. And I say in Joshua 14:11, and I'm just as strong today as I was when Moses sent me out. I'm still strong enough for war or anything else. That's for me. Give me a hand. After 40 years in Tigerberg, I'm just as strong as the day when I started it. That's God. That is God. It's only God. And then look what he got. Joshua 14:13. And Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him the city of Hebron as his possession. So that place where he went out to spy and he saw, the Lord eventually gave it to him because he came back with a positive report. Because he believed God. Came back with a positive report, and 45 years later, God gave him that land, and which he spied out. But the amazing thing is, what is the use of getting the land if you're all weak and hopeless? Who wants it then? You can't do anything with it. You're too sick or old or whatever. But he says, I'm 85, and I'm just as strong as the day when I went to spy out the land. Isn't that amazing? So I take that for myself. Next. Okay, so, I'll just end here, and tonight I will just go on, but I just want to show you the first idea. Next slide. Yeah. I said that it is God that completes, the work in us, and tonight I would really like to talk on how it happens. But I just want to start with this, and this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and this is Paul speaking. And he says, this is where he asked God to take away the thorn in his flesh, and God didn't do it. And then he says, God But God's answer to him was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. And then the next verse, for when I am weak, I am strong. You know, I'm going to end off with a little story which is going to put me both in a bad light and in a good light. So please, you can don't think bad of me badly because I'm telling you the story. And I'm also going to quote my son-in-law who is here now next to my daughter. Not to put him in a bad spot, but just to tell you know, I've got a few talents, but one talent that I don't have. I'm not an administrator. Rihanna is the administrator at home. Rihanna pays the bills. Rihanna makes sure there's milk in the fridge. Rihanna does all those things. But she let me do what I'm good at. And that is my job. But then, 4 years ago, oh yes, and because I'm not the administrator, everybody noticed it at work. They saw it, and they decided, leave Johan to do what he's good at. Please don't ask him to put a, you know, make a, you know, a list of things or organize where we should work where, that it's going to be a chaos, you know? And then this new professor came, a young lady who became head of our department, and you know what she decided? I must become head of human resources. I must make sure that the 140 people in the department are all working well, where they should work, happy in the service. I can't even look after myself. This was the tallest order I got in my entire life. And at almost at the same time, my son-in-law was appointed in a very similar situation with quite a number of people working under him. And we were in the same situation. So one day, I told him my predicament. And he said, you know, Dad, I've just come across a wonderful book about managing human resources. So I said, that's good. He says, that's the way it is. That's the way I'm going to do it. You know how I did it? I called out a prayer meeting. We have a prayer group at work. We meet every Wednesday. This meeting didn't meet for a few months. And when this order came, I said, God, I need you. I need you. I need your spirit. I can't do it. I honestly can't do it, but I must. So, we had a prayer meeting. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit empowered me. Can I say to you? To be the best human resources manager that ever had in the department. You've got a hand. I did it so well, or I'm doing it so well, through the Spirit of God, because I'm weak. That's my weak area. My weak area. But allow the Spirit of God to do it. That she came to me the other day and said, you know, after you have retired, would you mind just continuing the human resources? So I said, no, thank you. Definitely not. Definitely not. I'll do it while you have you're my boss and you tell me what to do, but I'm not going to test God that far, you know? Yes, so, you know, sometimes I think when we, why does God, you know, I think if you're strong, you don't really need God in that area. And I think that's why you must never say no, or we must never say no if anything is asked us in the natural, at work, or in the ministry, which we think is far too difficult for us. I just can't do it. You know, you're in the best place if you can't do it. Because then God can make His power work through you, through His Spirit, and do what He wants to do. So that is my message this morning. Basically, that what we must do is just realize that God is the one who's doing the work, and that we must, when we're weak, we're strong, and that we're at the best place when we're weak. And I know in this church, you know, because we're thinly spread, we are asked to do things that sometimes that, do you think I am, what I'm doing this morning is in my natural ability? It's not. And when Tians asked us to be elders in Shofar, I didn't say yes. I said, I'll go and hear with the Lord. And one reason why I was a bit, didn't want to do it is I thought it's no time for me to, not to work so hard. And secondly, I thought, well, I know Shofar elders have to preach. And I can't do it. So I went to the Lord. And in my quiet time, on the fourth day, He gave me a scripture. And He said, you must do it. And then when it came here the evening when Rihanna and myself were actually proposed as elders in this congregation, there was only one scripture quoted. It was the same scripture. And that's the only reason why I can stand before you this morning, not in my own strength, but because I know God can do anything through us if we allow Him, according to His purposes in us. Okay, thank you. Shall we pray? Yes, Lord, this morning we just want to give all the glory and honor to You, Lord. Even the things we've said about ourselves this morning, Lord, it's just Your grace, Lord, Your Spirit, Lord, that works these things in us. And Lord, we have one prayer today, and that is just to realize how powerful You are. Lord, how mighty You are. Lord, how mighty Your purposes and plans for each life. Lord, that we can never say we can't, Lord, if it's part of Your big plan for our lives, Lord, because You are mighty and powerful. And Lord, help us to just bow down, Lord, and just to allow Your Spirit, Lord, to do the work that You've planned for our lives. And Lord, thank You that this morning I know You have a perfect plan, Lord, an A plan, Lord, for each life here. And Lord, help us to hear Your voice and help us to obey and just help us to glorify You through all of that in Jesus' name. If there's anybody that needs prayer in a specific area, we always have time after the service. You're welcome to come and we can pray together.